Greetings, this is H.G. Wells, Logset S1 Log 2, and today, upon a midday not dreary, I'm speaking with the master of Eerie, Edgar Allan Poe. Just say that it's a pleasure to get this chance to speak with you, Mr. Poe.
Thank you, Mr. Wells.
No, thank you, Mr. Poe. I know this circumstance must seem most unusual to you. Then again, I'm quite surprised that you weren't at all too shocked by my time machine materializing in your bedroom. My coordinates were slightly off.
It's fine. I'm just appreciative for a little company. I haven't had a visitor in a while.
Are you all right?
Is anyone ever really, truly all right?
Moving swiftly onwards. I must ask, Mr. Poe, what's that? Perched upon your chamber door?
Perched upon the bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door?
Perched and sat and nothing more? 'Tis the raven?
You mean Lenore?
Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Mr. Wells, could you please stop quoting my work?
I'm sorry, I'm a bit of a fan, you know. I got carried away when I saw... Wait, you actually named that raven Lenore? Did you base the poem around it?
Her, actually.
Oh, I do apologize. Her.
And no, I didn't. Actually, I partially took inspiration from a novel by Charles Dickens.
Really? Oh, note to self. Add Charles Dickens to the list of people to visit.
Yes. Barnaby Rudge. A Tale of the Riots of 80. In the book, there features a talking raven named Grip. I rather like the idea.
I see. You have quite the fascination for ravens, it seems.
They're intriguing creatures. Symbolic. Relatable.
Symbolic? Relatable?
Yes. Symbolic of and relatable to my life.
How would that be, Mr. Poe?
Black as the dark world they're born into. Shunned and feared. Scavengers that seek what they require, but may seldom receive, as bad luck lurks within their shadowed forms. Their wings like night, blocking out all sunlight, reminding us of the cold midnight we all must return to some day. As certain as that midnight, the certainty of our demise, the inevitability of death.
Well, that was poetic.
Merely a sad truth, Mr. Wells.
Of course. That raven...
Lenore?
Lenore has been staring at me for a while now, and I don't mean to be rude, but it's making me feel a little uncomfortable. Could you get her to stop staring at me?
I'm afraid that's quite impossible.
What do you mean, impossible?
Her eyes are unseeing.
And what's that supposed to mean?
It means that... Yes, Lenore? I can't answer that question, Mr. Wells.
Why not? What just happened?
Lenore says you're making her uncomfortable.
Lenore says her uncomfortable?
We barely know you. And you're asking questions that she finds invasive and intrude on her personal life, or lack thereof it.
But she didn't say anything. In fact, now that I look at her closely, I don't think she's even alive.
She says if you don't stop now, she'll never more answer you. And I won't either.
But...
You have an odd fascination with ravens, Mr. Wells.
I couldn't care less about...
I thought you were here to talk to me. Then again, who would want to talk to me? Lenore is much more interesting. I don't blame you for going off topic.
No, you're right, Mr. Poe. I'm here to speak with you, that's what I want, not Lenore. I came back in time to converse with you, and that's what I should be doing. I just got off track. It's a bad habit of mine, and I profusely apologize.
You really want to talk to me?
For goodness sakes, man, of course I do. Why else would I literally traverse time and space in order to visit you? In fact, be the first person I decided to visit. Of all the hundreds of great minds and writers of the past, it was you, my first real trip in my time machine. And it's you I choose to visit first.
In that case, please, let us talk, Mr. Wells.
Thank you, Mr. Poe. Now, moving on, do you live here alone?
Yes. Just Lenore and I dwell these hallowed halls. We have only the sounds of the fireplace crackling and floorboards creaking to accompany us. Not even a rat dares to scuttle through, as though the emptiness I feel within these walls is felt by even the lowliest of creatures.
Couldn't you invite some friends over to keep you company?
Friends? That word has grown foreign to me. Those that I once considered friends are distant memories to me. I live in solace now, for I find that in solace there is no risk of losing what once was there.
Well, many people say they find peace in solace, I suppose.
Peace, Mr. Wells? For that you're much mistaken. My soul knows not peace, nor has it ever. I said that friend had grown foreign to me. But peace, it did not exist to begin with. Or, if it once did, it was in the days of yore, before I was fluent with words, and when the world was new. This peace you speak of, it comes not to me in this life, nor will it ever. Only torment haunts me. I'm afraid I may only find it in the world beyond, if that even exists. If not, then within that eternal slumber we all succumb to. Only in death will my mind find peace.
You really have a talent for making anything sound tragic.
It's not a talent. It's a curse, caused by the circumstances I've suffered through. In simpler terms, my life.
See what I mean? You just proved my point. You turned a compliment into a tragedy.
I have a tendency to do that.
It's almost impressive how you can take a positive atmosphere and quite literally cause it to nosedive to that of a funeral in mere moments.
I wouldn't say impressive, Mr. Wells. More depressing than anything else. How can a skill so misery-inducing and pointless be anything that resembles impressiveness?
And now I come to understand why making new friends is such a foreign concept to you.
Pardon?
Nothing. I was just saying that perhaps trying to make some new friends would make you happier.
I know not of happiness. Only...
Fine! Lift your spirits. Slightly? Maybe?
Perhaps. Until I inevitably lose them and sink deeper into the hole of my despair.
My dear fellow, could you perhaps try not to snap back at every sentence I say with some woeful remark about how utterly agonizing every second of your life is?
But I thought you wanted to talk.
And I do, my good man, I do. But it's so hard to keep the conversation when all you do is shoot down every little comment like some kind of relentless soldier.
Actually, I was a sergeant major.
You get my point. I'm just saying that if you tried not to be quite so pessimistic and stopped making such gloomy statements all the time, then maybe you'd make some more friends.
But
maybe you'd stop believing all those negative things. Maybe you'd feel better, or at least not quite so dreary.
Hmm? Yes, Lenore?
Okay, here he bloody goes again.
You really think so? I see.
What is it, man? What do you see?
Lenore says she thinks you are most right, Mr. Wells. That maybe trying to cut down on the sad talk would be beneficial. That I should try just keeping it to my writing instead. Try.
That's great. I'm glad Lenore is so supportive. I'm 99% sure that Raven is dead.
Oh, she's always been supportive. I still don't think I'll make friends, though.
Well, Mr. Poe, in that case, I have a small proposition for you. What if I said that perhaps we could be friends, or at least acquaintances?
Do you really mean that, Mr. Wells? You're not just saying that to try and elicit some sense of fleeting joy out of me, are you?
I mean it, Mr. Poe.
Please, Mr. Wells, if we are friends or acquaintances, call me Edgar.
And if we are to be friends or acquaintances, you may call me H.G. Oh, but jabbers, I'm going to be late back home. Jane will be fuming if I dare miss dinner again. I'm afraid I must dash. It was an absolute treat speaking with you, Edgar.
Oh. It was pleasant speaking with you too, H.G.
And so I better end today's log here. My name is H.G. Wells, this has been Edgar Allan Poe, and I still have no regrets.
Hang on, H.G. If you came here in a time travel machine, surely you won't be late if you just travel back...
This podcast was brought to you by Turpentine Productions. You can find us on Tumblr at Turpentine Productions, Twitter at Turpentine Pod, and Facebook at H.G. Wells Has His Regrets. H.G. Wells Has His Regrets is written by Emily Hancock with assistance from Francesca Mylord Ford. Music was written by Joe Ashkari and Emily Hancock. H.G. Wells was voiced by James Carpenter. Edgar Allan Poe was voiced by Adam Blandford. This podcast is fictitious, and all characters within are merely fictional interpretations of the people they're based on and are not to be taken as serious or accurate portrayals. We'll end the episode with a quote from Edgar Allan Poe's The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket. Words have no power to impress the mind without the exquisite horror of their reality. Thanks for listening.